If you're experiencing disappointment, frustration today, maybe you're struggling with anxiety or stress, or maybe having relationship strain with your spouse or with your kids, I can bet that there's one thing that's sort of at the front end of that whole thing, and it's an unmet expectations. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Welcome to Intentional Living from our studios live today. We're talking expectations. They are tricky things. On one hand, they motivate us, guiding our behavior toward the goals and the achievements that we've set for our life. On the other hand, they can be a double-edged sword, leading to disappointment. They can lead to anxiety and even burnout when reality doesn't match what we envisioned in our head and our mind. Whether it's a personal ambition, a professional target, or a financial milestone, expectations influence our behavior in profound ways. But what happens when our expectations become unrealistic or misaligned with reality is what we're going to talk about today. So writes from Psychology Today, Charles Chafin. Thank you, Dr. Chafin. You're right on. Today, we're talking about the power of expectations. I've taught for many, many years, expectation minus a reality is always going to equal disappointment. And so today, we'd love to have you join in. We want to talk about, as Christians, being intentional. What have we learned about unrealistic expectations? How expectations get us into trouble? Or how do we manage when a realistic expectation isn't being met in our lives? How do we deal with this formula, expectation minus reality equals disappointment? You're welcome to join in the discussion at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717.
I constantly expect more from my siblings than she can offer, and my family in general. I've always had this idealistic family view. I come from a broken family and a dysfunctional family, and I'm the one who, like, whenever things were going wrong in our family, I try to be the clown and try and say, look at me, don't argue. My sister, I really would like to be a friend to her. I would like support from her, and she just is not capable of that. And we're black and white as far as our morality, as far as our worldview, everything. And I think that if I would let go of the expectations of my family, let them be who they are and not what I think they should be to meet my needs, that would probably help a lot.
Pick on expectations. This is a reminder that our expectations can be pretty tricky because some of them are very realistic. We have realistic expectations. I mean, it's realistic to expect your spouse to be faithful to you in marriage, right? It's reasonable to expect that when you get in your automobile, it's going to run, brand new car perhaps even, right? It's reasonable to expect certain things, but then there's other times when the expectation isn't reality. And the question is, how do you deal with those points in your life? How have you managed expectations? What have you learned about expectations? Come along and join us here at 888-888-1717. Maybe they're not being met. 888-888-1717. Love to help you think this through. You know, thinking of what the Bible teaches on so many of the topics and issues we face, on this topic of just purely expectations, the Bible says certain things, but it's pretty silent about the word expectation, but it certainly gives many examples in Scripture of expectations. I did find this interesting proverb from Proverbs 10:28. Listen to this. It says, the hopes of the godly result in happiness. And of course, think about that. That's the hope in what? In God, when we have a hope in Christ, when we have a hope in our Savior and a hope in our Creator, it's going to result in more happiness because we don't feel like we have to control everything, right? But there's more to that sentence. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. Expectations there about my expectations about me. And I think there's a principle here that when my expectations are all built around what I expect and what I intend to be and not what God intends, there's where the disappointment can increase pretty quickly. The hope of the godly result in happiness. The expectations of the wicked come to nothing. All right. What about expectations in your life? Give us a call, 888-1717, Lydia in Michigan. You know, we're talking about expectations, and many of them really are right in the family with the kids, aren't they? Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm 27 years old, and I married a man who has two kids, and one of them now is a 13-year-old boy. We struggled with him at first. He's very introverted and lives through his phone and video games, and I had a really hard time, especially being a stepmom to him. And what we've done is we put expectations there for him. That helped me to step back and to ask him to do more, as well as we have a small family farm. And we've really pushed him in an encouraging way that he's capable and reminding him that he's capable and you need his help around the house, whether it's unloading the dishwasher or helping us bale hay. And my husband has had to focus more on him. They started off kind of rough at the beginning of his life, but us being united and wanting the same thing for him. And I do have to say, throughout all of this, in the last just couple years, I have seen this kid change dramatically with the way that he talks to us. When I give him a list of things he needs to do, he seems so much more ambitious to just go out and get them done rather than dragging his feet and complaining about it. And it's matured him and bettered our relationship, actually, with him.
Yeah, and what you've done, Lydia, that's terrific. What you've done is you set very positive and realistic expectations. And as a parent or a grandparent, we need to do that. It's not reasonable to have no expectations for your kids. You need to have expectations. The expectation that they're going to, you know, take care of themselves, do their homework, be responsible, tell the truth. These are reasonable expectations, and there should be consequences when those things don't occur. So when we talk about expectations, understanding that happens in parenting, when you have an expectation toward your kids and that expectation isn't being met, it creates disappointment. And that's why it's important as parents to clarify expectations with your kids. And that's true in your marriage as well. Over the years, when we counsel with couples, I've told couples it's important to sit down and maybe come up with a list of 5 or 10 realistic but important expectations that you have for your spouse and your marriage. Hey, listen, I love you, and I'm going to try to be realistic with my expectations, but I expect that you're going to be faithful. I expect that you're going to talk to me. I expect that we're going to have some shared goals. I don't know what the 5 or 10 would be for you, but to have reasonable expectations, discuss them, clarify them, because whenever an expectation isn't met is where the disappointment comes into the relationship. And I think what you did, Lydia, you set positive expectations for this this young teenager, and he measured up in terms of saying, hey, those are doable. I get it, and I'm going after it. That's a good thing. Come join us, 888-1717. You know, Michael J. Fox, you know who he is, the actor. At 29, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And if you've seen him recently, you got to give him credit. I mean, he just comes out and is trying to be strong as he faces this devastating illness. But he made an interesting note about this thing of expectations. He said, I've learned that my happiness grows in direct proportion to my acceptance and inverse proportion to my expectations. And so understanding that there are times we have to accept the reality that we can't change and adjust the expectations to where we are. I think that's a healthy thing to really think about. What do you think? What have you learned? 888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
One thing done consistently each day will change your life. For example, saving consistently will result in financial freedom. Encouraging your spouse daily will result in a closer, more intimate marriage. I am Dr. Randy Carlson. The Apostle Paul is right on when he wrote, encouraging believers. He said, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Consistency is more important than strength or speed. Consistency will help you grow your faith, solve problems, get healthier, and experience more peace in your marriage, family, and personal life. I invite you to join me at the Night of Hope to discover how to make consistency a game changer for your life and your family. Night of Hope, coming to Glendale, Arizona on June the 6th. Join me and recording artist Jordan St. Cyr. Go to theintentionallife.com. All right, back in the studio, that's our Intentional Living Minute for today with a reminder of the upcoming Night of Hope. And it's going to be a great evening. I'm really looking forward to it. In Glendale, in the Valley of the Sun, Phoenix area, coming up on the 6th, just a couple weeks from now, a couple weeks from this weekend, right? 7 o'clock, Haven Church. Jordan St. Cyr, looking forward to his music, and sure, he's got a powerful story. We'll hear that, and then I'm going to be just jumping in to share with you some really practical things that you can do for your marriage, for your family, in your own personal life to experience more hope. As I was joking with the staff here before the show, I'd rather have a night of hope than a night of despair, and there's no reason for us to live in that kind of feeling of, you know, unmet expectations, feeling overwhelmed in our marriage and our relationships and our personal life. This is going to be a freedom evening. It's going to be great. Get your tickets. Limited seating available. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Get your tickets today. All right. Let's go to caller number one in Georgia. Hey there. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, Dr. Carlson. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome. What led you to call? What's going on?
Yes, sir. So about meeting expectations, I've been put in the responsibility to help a family member.
Uh-huh.
I'm honored and love that family member. However, the family member is unable or unwilling to pay bills that are the responsibility of the family member. So the money that I manage is getting smaller. And I discussed that a few times with a few options and asked for that member to say, hey, you know, this is what I would like, you know, to meet in the middle, but I'm not meeting his expectations. I'm thinking because he's just unwilling and wants to, and it's called, you know, to go into litigation. However, again, the responsibility that I've been given, it outlines that all the things that I can do, but I just really would like his input because it's his life, but I don't know how to move forward when he wants to use what's left.
All right, let me see if I understand this. So you have a family member who said, I want you to run my life, as in a sense, in terms of money and schedule or whatever, things, important things, but then not letting you do it.
Well, yes, sir.
Okay.
Except that the trust was funded by a third party, a parent, and this is my sibling.
Okay, so you have a sibling and the parent funds it, so the parent is still telling you how they want it managed. Is that what you're hearing?
No, sir. I'm sorry. Parents have now passed.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I learned about a month before they passed, my dad passed, that my brother and my parent would like me to be the trustee.
Okay, all right. Okay, I understand. So now you have a sibling that you're managing. Is this sibling capable of making decisions, or frankly, are you concerned that judgment and, I mean, obviously you were made a trustee for some reason. Why? Why were you made the trustee?
Well, part of it is being, it's hard to learn, for me to discern what is ability and what is attitude. However,
but why were you put as a trustee? What was your parents' reasoning for doing that to you or asking you to do that?
Yep. He's on disability. He is dyslexic. But I think it's the legal counsel that I've received. They said generally it's a spendthrift trust. So that he wouldn't be taken advantage of. There's already family members that.
I see. So it's to protect the resources.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this. If your parents were alive today, what would they tell you? If they saw this going on, what would they say to you?
They would tell me that I'm doing a good job and that I should do what I feel is right.
All right. But your heart is saying at the same time, I love my family member and I don't like having a riff in this relationship.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm really good at following through, but when he brought in lawyers to try to, you know, basically waste what's left.
Yeah.
And I have a family and his argumentativeness takes a lot of time.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm learning through your program to, and thank you for that. Lay down boundaries.
Yep.
And,
listen, we talk about the 3-foot rule, and the 3-foot rule says I can only control what I can control, and I can't control somebody else. And I'm not an attorney, so you obviously need to get legal advice if there's lawyers involved, and that is so unfortunate and so unnecessary in so many cases. It just, anyway. But yeah, I can only control what I can control. And I always look at it this way. When we have discussions that I've had over the years, many people come and say, my parents left me in charge for the family and my family's not happy and I don't know what to do. I always say, go back to what the document says. This is my look at it. What did my parents want me to do? What was it in the document? Did my parents say that you are to make the decision and oversee? And the fact is, they probably anticipated there might be this kind of thing coming up. And in the process, they wanted you to be the one. And you accepted it. And I understand this is a good reason to really think about when you accept that kind of responsibility, because this kind of thing can happen in families. And boy, we could open the phone lines to families that have been blown up because of, you know, unresolved issues over wills and trusts and knickknacks in the house after mom and dad are gone. You got the knickknack and I didn't. Come on, let's just get real with each other. This is what can happen. And so you got an unmet expectation here, right? That's why I, at least from my perspective, you go back to what the document says. You go back and what it says. And understand this is what mom and dad wanted. And I'm certainly willing to listen and we can talk and all that. But at the end of the day, they've asked me to make a decision. I know it puts me in an awkward spot, puts you in a difficult spot, but I have to do what I feel God's given me to do through mom and dad to follow through. That's a hard thing to do. And now if it's going to be drained, unfortunately, that's going to hurt him, it would seem like, and upset you in the relationship. And of course, the relationships are always ultimately the most important thing. It's very difficult. Obviously, like I said, I'm not an attorney, but seeking counsel to be able to set out how you handle it from that perspective. But from an intentional living perspective, I'm in my 3 feet. I can only control my 3 feet. I'm responsible for my 3 feet. And therefore, I'm going to do what mom and dad intended for me to do. I took on this responsibility. Maybe I shouldn't have, but I did. And obviously, mom and dad want me to do it. And so I'm doing it to the best of my ability. And if you can't accept that, I'm sorry. I didn't ask for it. I didn't ask mom and dad to give it to me, but I'm doing what I believe to be in not only their best interest and their thoughts, but also in your best interest as well. Boy, that's a whole program right there. We could just open up the lines and have overwhelming number of calls on that. Mm. All right. Thank you for that call. Tom in Arizona, welcome to the Intentional Living today. How you doing?
I am doing awesome. Thank you for asking.
Appreciate your call.
Dr. Andy, first, I just want to thank you for taking my call, and I'd like to give you as many kudos as possible for what your ministry does.
Thank you
very much.
Glad to do it.
So when I was a kid, very poor, yada, yada, horrible family, not much ever to look forward to. So we went to Disneyland when I was like six. I had a fantastic time. And then a few years later, around 10, we're going to Disneyland again. And I'm off the walls, happy as can be, excited as can be. We do the Disneyland trip when we leave Disneyland. And I'm so disappointed because it did not live up to what I was expecting it to be. And so I learned, that really stuck with me. And I learned, I call it the Disneyland experience, that I manage my expectations so well. I hope for the best and I plan for the worst. Anytime we're going to go somewhere or do something, I never want to go. I know I'm going to have a horrible time. And then I have a great time.
Yeah, there you go. I'm with you, Tom. I hear you. Exactly. That's exactly the case. I tell in my conferences, I use that exact same example. We've taken the kids to Disneyland or Disney World over the years and while they were growing up. And I don't see that many happy people in Disneyland. We're all pushing and shoving, waiting, standing in line. I tell people, you go to Disneyland for 10 hours and you have about 45 minutes of fun. You know, when you're on the ride, it's a lot of fun, but then you're standing in line, it's hot out, you got to buy a $20 hamburger, hello, or whatever, and it's not as much fun. And you're absolutely right, Tom, adjusting expectations. The formula expectation minus reality equals disappointment. Anybody knows from a mathematical perspective, how do you change the result? You either change the expectation or you change the reality. And so if we can say, hey, we're going to Disneyland and we're going to have fun being together, I don't know how the day is going to go, but we're going to make it a fun day. In other words, we have a realistic expectation. You know, let me just expand on this, Tom, because you really hit a chord. This happens in marriage. You get married and you expect your spouse to meet all your needs. You expect them to be there emotionally and physically and spiritually and everything in your life. And you're going to be happy every day. And the reality is, you get on with life, you have kids, they have to get up in the middle of the night and feed the kids, there's sickness, there's challenges, there's financial issues, there's in-laws, and the reality sets in, and that can create disappointment in a relationship, in a marriage. And so having a realistic expectation, hey, listen, if we're getting through to anybody today, I hope it's the message of saying, God, what's a reasonable expectation? Give me your thought on this. Give me your word on this when it comes to the expectation I should or shouldn't have in this situation. And it's that realistic expectation that's going to bring more happiness, just like the scripture says. The hopes of a godly result in happiness, where hope is in Him. It's when we try to have our own expectations that we get into trouble. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking about expectations. You can join the discussion. What have you learned? Have you dealt with him? Thank you, Tom. 888-888-1717.
The world's changing, and it can feel chaotic. But what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our lives, we're in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
A night of music, laughter, and hope. It's Family Life Radio's Night of Hope, Friday, June 6th with Dr. Randy Carlson.
You can experience more peace and hope and joy in your relationships, and I'm going to show you how to do that at the Night of Hope.
You'll also hear inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale. Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at myflr.org.
Hey, come join us. It's going to be a great evening. As I was saying earlier, it's a night of hope as opposed to a night of despair. And maybe many of us experience that when we think about our marriage or family. You feel pretty overwhelmed, disappointed. There's a better way. I have to admit this is a pretty audacious statement, but intentional living in Christ is the only solution I know. It's the only solution I know to the problems that we face in life. Ultimate solution.
if you try to do it your own way, you know, it might improve, things might get better for a while, whatever, but still, if it's not in alignment with God's intention for that situation or for your life, you're ultimately not going to get the resolution that I know you want. I know we all want. And so that evening coming up, June 6th, 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about how do you make that a reality? How do you turn an intentional life into a hope-filled life, personally, in your marriage and family? It's going to be a great evening, really practical stuff. Love to have you be a part of it. You can get your tickets today by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, my name is Christina. I was calling in about expectations, especially with marriages. My husband went and cheated on me outside of our marriage, and now he's wanting us to repair it and go back like nothing really happened, even though that's not capable. My expectations of marriage and being in a one-on-one relationship with my husband has been utterly shattered. We also have a 2-year-old son together. I told him before we even had him that I did not want to be raising him in a broken home. But then he went and cheated after we had our son, and it's just completely broken, and I would like some help with expectations and getting through this.
Yeah, Christine, I'm so sorry. Thank you for your call from Pennsylvania. Yeah, here's a fact. When a very realistic expectation, which, by the way, that's a realistic expectation. When a very realistic expectation is not met, the disappointment you experience is something that's on steroids. And acceptance, you got to accept the fact, and this is where we struggle. When things get broken, an expectation gets broken, a realistic expectation like yours gets broken, are you going to accept and be able to work through a, quote, new normal? Because you referenced, hey, it was like he wants to come back and everything's the same. It ain't the same. It's got to be better. It's got to be different. Got to be healed. And in the process, there has to be an acceptance of a new normal. It's the only path to true lasting healing. When things get broken, yeah, there's going to be a scar, but it can be rebuilt if both parties are saying, hey, we want a new path, a healthy path, the right path, God's intentional path for our life. That's the only answer. Got to run, but we're going to stay here and record. Love to have you join in. 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.